In the Fury Electric Studio, a rainy Monday. Thank the folks at Access Schools for letting us hang out and play with them yesterday afternoon following the show. We had a good time. It was surprisingly good conditions. I was very surprised how many of the holes were not really affected by all the rain yesterday. So John Warburton and the staff at Chenal Country Club, a tip of the cap. Well done. I got to give him credit.
They do a good job.
He told me it drained well. I'm amazed. I don't know what goes into agronomy. I'm not into... I can barely keep the little flowers that are in the two pots in front of my front door alive,
right?
Let alone try to keep an entire golf course alive and well. But it is amazing to me all the science that goes into keeping those things growing nicely. So, you know what I'd like to know is whatever they put on their grass that keeps the mosquitoes away. I've never been really bitten by a mosquito on a golf course, I don't think, unless I'm chasing one of my balls into the woods. But you don't see...
Yeah, I guess not.
I don't know
not
what they bad. Use. I need to get some of that. And I wonder if you could, like, if you had a sprinkler system or some sort of something you could hook up to your hose to spray around your lawn to... And I know they've got the deal where you can hook it up and, like, in, you know, manually spray it. But anyway, I hate mosquitoes.
Yeah, there's mosquitoes. They're no good. No good.
Nope.
They carry all sorts of diseases and whatnot.
I don't need no malaria. Keep
matter
that to yourself.
Fact, matter of fact, there's a big issue going on right now, I believe, down in the Caribbean.
About what?
Well, they've got this new strain of something where mosquitoes are carrying and attacking people. They're attacking them.
And then what?
And then they...
There's no cure?
There's no cure, but it's not deadly.
Skin melt off?
Oh. No. It's you curl up in a little ball and everything hurts. I mean, everything from the tips of your toes, it sounds pretty brutal.
It doesn't sound good.
But,
I don't like it.
You need some rest and you need some pain medication.
Yeah,
probably because of a little stupid mosquito. Think about it.
I hate mosquitoes. Seriously, I'm going to have a word with God if I ever make it to heaven and ask him, what's that about? Seriously, what's up with mosquitoes?
I don't know what the advantage is. I mean, you'd think that somewhere along the line that we needed them to do something. I can't imagine one positive aspect.
If you could ask God three questions and get a good answer on it, what would it be?
Oh, there's no doubt it'd be the mosquito things, no question.
That's up there.
And then I'd say... I'd want to know, where does wind come from?
That's a great question.
I don't know. Sometimes it's just windy.
That's an awesome question.
Sometimes it's not. I'd say, how does that happen? Is it true that you really just farting?
you want to give a jockstrap to the rain?
I actually didn't mind the rain.
Several years ago, you gave a jockstrap to the rain. Seriously, we get it. I mean, love the rain, but enough. We do get a couple, especially not going to rain much in the metro today, and it's not going to rain the next couple days in the state, I don't think. So that's good.
Dry us out a little bit.
We need to get in that summer weather pattern where it's like 92, 20% chance of rain, your normal summer weather pattern.
Consistently just pounding. By the way, I'm thinking this is the summer where I go across the board 70 SPF the entire time.
That's good thinking. How's the...
All over my body.
The arm burn has left a scar.
Well, it's
not significant,
healing.
But yeah, okay.
So you can see it's still white and red and eventually be all pasty, pale. Hey, the good old pale white skin once again, my man. But.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know what? I actually used some SPF the other day for the first time in a long time. When I play golf, I don't normally use any. That's really stupid. I'm an idiot.
It is. It's tough to get in that habit. You need to, though, buddy.
Tonight, Game 3 of the NBA Finals. We are tied at one apiece. Pat will have a breakdown on the game. You know what? We could break out Pat's three-pointers on this. We need to get Klein in before the end of the week.
Yeah, we do.
Why don't you reach out to him? Hey, Matty T, call your boy Joe Klein. See if he wants to...
I'll send him a text message.
Come up and have a conversation about the NBA Finals at some point. Also...
Speaking of Joe Klein, you know what was on last night? I don't know if you missed it. Mm-mm. Was the 1984...
NBA Finals?
NBA Draft.
Oh, Draft, okay.
That featured five Hall of Famers in the draft.
Joe Klein and who else?
It was, obviously, Hakeem Olajuwon, who was the number one pick. And that draft...
Was Ewing in that class?
Ewing was not. As a matter of fact, at that time, the NBA had the coin flip. So the Rockets got number one pick in 83, took Ralph Sampson. Number one pick in 84, took Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, we think it's jacked up now.
Actually, Klein was in the 85 draft.
He was in Michael Jordan's draft?
No, Jordan was 84. It went Olajuwon, Bowie, Jordan.
Yeah, that's right.
And Barkley was in that draft, the fifth pick. John Stockton was in that draft. And there's a guy who was in the Basketball Hall of Fame by the name of Oscar Schmidt. Oscar Schmidt.
He's I remember him.
Brazilian.
Yeah, I remember him.
And he got, at that time, they had 10 rounds.
In the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's like one of the leading scorers in Olympic history.
Who was the Tom Brady of the NBA draft? Who was the guy that was drafted way late back when they had a bunch of draft choices and went on to great stardom?
It, from what I could have gathered, it was, you had to take somebody's spot, and that's what makes it so unique was, you know, there are so many guys, you know, obviously the NFL has an incredible turnover of players each year.
What, how many so NBA draft spots? What do they have, two rounds now or three rounds?
Now it's two rounds.
Okay.
Back then it was 10 rounds.
It just shows you how many, that's, it's so difficult.
But there was some good ones, you know, even, you look at even Joe Klein's draft, where you had Spud Webb was a third rounder. You had...
It's not that low, though.
It's not that bad.
I'm gonna, who's the guy that's like a fifth or sixth rounder, though, that eventually went on and was a Hall of Famer, All-Star or something?
Yeah, I think Rick Carlisle was drafted. He didn't go on to be a Hall of Famer, obviously, but I think he was drafted in one of the later rounds.
Hmm.
It was, if you get a chance, though, it's just how everything tied in together. I mean, that 1984 class basically was the class, the draft class that took the NBA from the excitement of the 80s, like global. I mean, that was the majority of the Dream Team. You know, with Jordan Barkley was the leading scorer of the Dream Team. He had Jordan and Stockton. So it was those guys in that draft class that really took it to the next level. It's pretty interesting how they tie everything together and how I was thinking about even in 90, I think it was 96, 96 or 7, where Olajuwon and Barkley teamed up. This was late in Barkley's, both their careers. They got beat. Both of those guys are 1984 draft guys, top 10. They were beaten by John Stockton's Jazz, who then went on to get beat by Jordan's Bulls, all 1984 draft guys. And five Hall of Famers in one draft is pretty amazing. I think there was, you know, all those guys are top 25 all-time players.
Tonight, Game 3 is a 4.5-point line, as last I saw, for the Heat. Let me double-check that, because that was as of yesterday afternoon. I have not checked as of this morning, but I'm going to guess it's a right around there. NBA tonight, Miami's a 4-point favorite at home tonight in Game 3. Series tied at 1 apiece. Big news yesterday is that Derek Fisher has been tabbed to, not officially, but according to reports, tabbed to coach the New York Knicks. He will work with Phil Jackson, his old coach. And meanwhile, the Cavs are apparently talking to Mark Price.
Mark Price resurfacing, yes! Yes!
I don't know what he's been doing, but I do know what Derek Fisher's been doing. He's been wrapping up a very lengthy and successful NBA career. I don't feel any great connection to Derek Fisher, even though he's a UALR guy. His mom is here, and she's been a great supporter of UALR, and he's certainly given money, Fisher Court named after him. But he's not a guy who has come back, at least to my knowledge, and spent a lot of time here. I mean, you do see guys like Joe Johnson and some others who have come back.
I saw Joe last night.
See, and they're back
here, Dunbar.
Back here and hanging out, and that's fine. You got to do whatever you think fits best for you, and that's okay. And look, if I lived in L.A. or had a place, and you'll have a place in New York soon, and I can understand why you would hang out in those areas in the off season. But anyway, I do congratulate him. He certainly has a you know, he's a Little Rock guy. He's a UALR grad and a former star player there, and has had an incredible career. I don't think even he would tell you that he had, in his wildest dreams, thought that he would have the kind of success he's had in the NBA. I would say that he would seemingly be a perfect fit for a head coaching position just about anywhere. However, there are some built-in issues with New York, considering there are salary cap problems. Your star may not be there next year. You've had a lengthy period of time where your organization's been part of a loser. You got a very rich but maybe clueless owner.
Yep.
Luckily, you got Phil Jackson, so if you're going to take an opportunity to jump into the coaching realm, you would think that working with Phil would be a great way to start things out.
You would, right? I think it's a move for him for all those reasons, and there's definitely some pros and cons, big pros and cons that are going on with that. As you said, walking into a situation with, number one, the type of owner where you know that Phil Jackson's there to take those hits, though, from him. And then you get your roster. What are you going to do with that? And I think Fisher is one of those guys that could handle a lot of that pressure that comes with being in New York and having to coach with all those different things that are going on. It's going to be a circus. You know, it's going to be a circus. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you're him, of course you take it. There's no question. Like, I know that Steve Kerr didn't want to take. Oh, he chose Golden State over New York.
I do like the Bay Area a lot more than I would want to go to New York, I think.
Yeah, and they've got a little bit more foundation.
Yeah, you think? I mean, exactly.
But with D. Fish there now, maybe Carmelo sees that that's somebody who he could get along with, and, yeah. and maybe he, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing that he may view Fisher as a peer, because maybe he feels like he can engage in conversation and say, hey, how you know, we got to get this guy. Maybe he feels like he can be honest with him, open.
The NBA showed, or the ESPN today showed, coaches who went from being a player to the very following season being a head coach, and the majority of them, they're only like five or six, the majority of them have had success instantly, including Jason Kidd last year. He did a good job. Did you talk to Joe at all about that? Did you get a chance to visit with him last night?
No, he was... We played the early game, and they were coming in after. So,
if you haven't heard, Pat Bradley is the premier attraction at the Dunbar League this summer. He is coaching. What's the name of your team?
We're the CBC Mustangs.
CBC Mustangs.
Out in Conway.
No kidding.
Unfortunately, we gave up a 10-point lead after the half, and we lost our first game.
Mm.
But
I'd like to come watch a game when I'm not playing in a rainy golf tournament at some point. Yeah, when do you play again?
It's fun. Wednesday at like 9, but they'll be better.
At night?
Yeah, no, they go like 6, 7, 8, 9, but
that's
they'll
fine.
Be earlier games.
I don't mind.
That.
When are you playing against somebody that I would want to see?
Well, I got to find out, because Archie Goodwin's going to play. I'm not sure what team, and a lot of times you don't know when these guys are in town. So typically you'll get some – there's going to be a lot of guys that you know. It's just, when are they going to be in? When are they going to be not in town?
What nights of the is the league? Is it every night?
Monday through Friday.
Okay, and starting at what, like 7 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 early game, 6, which is the best game because you get all the good parking spots. See, that's what's key about that.
Go in there, you can watch a couple hours worth of games, see an NBA player or two.
And the great thing about it is these games, the 20-minute running halves. So it goes by quick. There's
no
stop. Yeah, I mean, it's really a quick game.
I guess all these guys have it in their contract where it's okay for them to come in here and keep their game sharp. And what a great opportunity for a young player or a guy who is maybe didn't quite make it to be able to play against some of these studs.
Oh, they love it. It's not NCAA sanctioned, which is unfortunate because you don't get any of the college guys. But as I looked into it more and learned about it, they make it kind of difficult to be sanctioned now. It's extra money, extra insurance. There's a mileage, there's a radius where you got to be. It's just a bunch of baloney.
Malarkey.
Bunch of malarkey.
So what do you think about tonight's game? Back to the actual NBA, not just NBA players hanging out in Little Rock. What do you think about the matchup tonight in Game 3?
Well, this is a game that San Antonio, if they cannot, first of all, if they don't win this game, it's over.
Really?
It's over.
You're that convinced?
It's over.
Why can't they win the next game? And it's not
because
over.
Then you just, in my mind, you're not going to beat the Miami Heat 2 games in a row, because they have obviously the most talented guy in the world.
If you don't think they could beat Miami 2 games in a row,
but that's why Game 7, that's why they it was so key for them to have home court advantage.
But if you don't think they could win 2 games in a row, then why did you pick them off the top?
San Antonio?
Yeah.
Because I thought that they could, throughout the entire series, do what they had to do to win 4 out of the 7 games. And that's all they got to do. They're just going to win 4 out of 7 games.
Okay, but
first to 4.
I haven't even thought this through yet, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head, if you can't win 2 in a row, you can't win the series. Is that wrong?
No, you go 1, 3, 5, and 7. If you win game 1, game 3, game 5, game 7.
That's a good point. Every other game.
But that's... And
I was assuming they'd have to win all their games at home, but I guess that wouldn't be the case. So, yeah, okay.
And that would be fine, too. That'd be fine, too. It's just that these teams, and they're the elite of the elite, right?
Right.
Both these teams are talented, number one. They both make great adjustments at halftime, and they make great adjustments from game to game.
If you're doing algebra at home, by Pat's math, that means that, San Antonio absolutely has to win tonight. If Pat's rationale is accurate, that they cannot win 2 in a row, they would have to win tonight to stay alive in the series.
I don't think anybody's ever won 2 in a row. Or maybe Dallas, when Dallas beat. I don't think this Miami Heat team has ever lost 2 games in a row in the playoffs.
Here's what's amazing to me, is that they... I think the stat was they are like, I don't remember how many games they've won, but they're undefeated in game 2 after losing game 1 on the road.
What?
That's hard to believe.
It is. Then again, you say, well, okay, how are they going to continue there's so many matchup issues, and LeBron is a smart. Listen, he's got a fantastic athletic body, but the guy knows how to dissect the defense. He knows what he's looking for. He knows how to get guys going. That's one thing that we kind of forget in all this. LeBron, with his just the bit, how big he is in his size, the guy is a point guard out there. He understands. I got to get Bosch touches. I got to get D Wade going. I got to get, you know, maybe Rashad Lewis, maybe Battier. So, and Ray Allen. That's why they just make so many good adjustments. And then San Antonio, on the other side, is similar to that. They move the ball so well that they're going to find a crack in your defense eventually. Eventually, they're going to wear you down.
Dwayne Wade got fined $5,000 for being a little too dramatic in a, I guess, a foul that he took.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with that? And on the fly, that's hard to imagine.
Do you think $5,000, they should up that?
I don't think that's going to change anything. $5,000 is such a pittance, but
do you think that these guys look at it and they say, "Hey, it's worth it for me to try to get a call in the playoffs"?
I don't know. I have a problem with it in general. I mean, I don't know. I don't like flopping. I don't know, man. This is the kind of thing where if it was like a little bit too dramatic, it's kind of. I mean, that's such a gray area. That's a tough deal for me. The way they say it is, he over-exaggerated a foul during Game 2 of the Finals that was charged to Manu Ginobili. So he flopped the flopper. He took a swipe and hit me, Wade said Monday before the fine was announced. It was a late call by the ref, but he called it. The league called it flopping. So I don't know. I mean, that to me is like, if he actually made contact, it's hard to say. I don't know. But anyway.
Do you support that?
I don't like flopping.
In all sports, like, would you like to see football?
Yeah,
baseball.
I don't know how you fake stuff in baseball. I guess being hit by pitch. What do you do?
Whether it be hit by a pitch. And we had that incident actually, like in the baseball high school baseball championships, where
kid acted like he got hit, but he didn't.
Well, he didn't.
He didn't move.
He not only didn't move, you could see he just kind of leaned in.
And they called it hit by pitch.
And no, I've actually he wasn't awarded the base.
See, I've had that happen.
And the thing is, my question was, is there a more severe penalty?
You want to fine the high school kid?
No, maybe not fine him. Maybe he's out. You know what I mean?
Oh boy,
I don't know.
Look, he took an 85 mile an hour fastball to the rib cage. I think that's probably punishment
enough. He took it like a beast. He took it like Don Bela too. But I don't know. Would that be too extreme? Maybe it's too extreme. I don't. That whole dynamic between pitcher and batter, I don't get it. There's so many unwritten rules.
The flopping thing's hard. I mean, and that's a deal where it's like if you hit him, you hit him. I don't know how you're supposed to react, and I don't know. It's a tough deal. I will say people are tuning in to watch these NBA Finals. Over 15 million people tuned in to watch Game 2 of the NBA Finals, slightly more than last year's Heat-Spurs Game 2 matchup. In 2012, over 16.5 million people tuned in for the Heat and Thunder Game 2. And 15.5 million, a little bit more than this year in Heat and Mavs in 2011 in Game 2.
Question for you.
Answer.
Is that worldwide or that's United States?
I'm assuming these are U.S. figures.
I'm just curious to
Is there, 350 million people
global
in America? No, it's got to be U.S., I guarantee you. Globally, I bet it's more than that.
You would think so.
More news in the world of TV and numbers. Television ratings for the Stanley Cup Finals have been strong. Although LA now leads 3-0. I guess
maybe
people tune in to watch a closeout. Well, the Rangers are up 2-0 in the first game. Game 2 averaged 6.4 million. So just to show you for comparison's sake, more than twice as many people tuned in to watch the NBA Finals. Some people say, you don't pay any attention to hockey. Well, I mean, look. I mean, there's plenty of people who love it, and I'll watch it if it's on. NBC also said the Saturday matchup was delivered a big number, 9.1 million. That's a huge number for the NHL, according to this information I'm looking at here, but it's coming on the heels of the Belmont Stakes, which was certainly helpful. Not exactly what I was looking for, but yeah, that'll work. So anyway, there you go, NHL doing our